I have a lot of work to do on the Srimad Bhagavatam. And the only way I'm able to really do this effectively and get a lot done is when I kind of just go on a marathon. So this will be, the class goes on until the end of this month, April, and this will be the last time you see me. Classes after this will all be given by Bhaktivedya Purnamash, because I'm going to be writing. It has to be, because this is the best month for it. This is April. It's not too yet too hot. And there's only 1 month left. So enjoy while you can. I'm sorry, but time here is like a big python that swallows frogs. Hours like frogs. So many distractions. Okay. I believe that you left off and this heading, the same verse 42 is discussed in Paramatma Sundarbha Anucheda 1, beginning with paragraph 6. Am I right? Yes?
There was that's the next section, but we have to go back to where verse 21 is discussed.
So that's in the previous heading. Srila Jiva Goswami discusses verse 42. Yeah, okay. All right, then. Thank you very much. So we continue with Srila Jiva Goswami's Bhakti Sundarbha comments on certain verses which he has selected to discuss in his Sakshandarbha. So the subject here, just to refresh your memories, is that Jiva Goswami states that Mahavishnu is established as the first Purusha of Lord Krishna and helps establish Krishna as the original speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam. And we ask you to compare this with Srila Prabhupada's purport to verse 42. So, point 21, Shri Jiva Goswami says that Lord Krishna's original speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam is confirmed in the following words, Srimad Bhagavatam 12, 13, 19. I meditate upon that pure and spotless absolute truth, who is free from suffering and death, and who in the beginning personally revealed this incomparable torchlight of knowledge to Brahma. Brahma then spoke it to the sage Narada, who narrated it to Krishna Dvapayana Vyas. Srila Vyas revealed the Srimad Bhagavatam to the greatest of sages, Shukadeva Goswami, and Shukadeva mercifully spoke it to Maharaj Parikshit. And Jiva Goswami analyzes this verse by saying that the word para in this verse indicates that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the original speaker of the Bhagavatam. That Lord Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead is hinted in these words, Srimad Bhagavatam 2.6.42. This is from this chapter we are discussing. So this is important. Verse 42 is a proof that Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is thus the speaker of this Srimad Bhagavatam and not any other form of the Lord. Karana Vasayi Vishnu is the first incarnation of the Supreme Lord, and he is the master of eternal time, space, cause and effects, mind, the elements, the material, the ego, the modes of nature, the senses, the universal form of the Lord, Gaurdakshaya Vishnu, and the sum total of all living beings, both moving and unmoving. The statement indicates that Lord Krishna is different because he is the origin of all incarnations from the various incarnations of God. We can just look at this again. In the translation, the first line is, or the first phrase is, Karnarna Vashayi Vishnu. that's one of the more difficult names for Mahavishnu, is the first incarnation of the Supreme Lord. So that's quite clear. Mahavishnu is the first avatar of Purushottam. So that is Vasudev. And anyway, since I'm not going to be here, I can give stuff away. I'm not sure if it was already mentioned here. But anyway, in that seminal Chatushloki chapter 9, you will actually see that when Lord Brahma has completed his austerities, remember, these were his preparatory austerities after hearing the transcendental sound tapa tapa. Then he sat down on the lotus flower for one whole of his days, which is 4,300,000,000 years. And he sat enwrapped in meditation. And as a result of that, he had darshan of the Lord. And very clearly in the verses, it says this is Lord Varesh, who appears before him. So Varesh is actually Vasudev with four arms. And Jiva Goswami makes very clear, this is Krishna, but Krishna as the Lord of Dwarka. This is Krishna, but Krishna still in, showing his Vaikuntha opulence, because Dwarka is actually Adi Vaikuntha. You see, Vaikuntha expands from Dwarka. Vaikuntha is the, you could say Dwarka is the original seed of all the opulence of countless Vaikuntha planets. So the Lord of that Dwarka is Varesh, and he appears before Lord Brahma. And Lord Brahma is already clearly Veda Garbha. His heart, by his meditation, tapasya, has already given birth to the Vedic knowledge. The Vedic knowledge. And this has qualified him to have darshan of the original Lord of Vaikuntha. But then, Brahma asks or something more. This is very important. And we bring this out very carefully. Like I said, I'm cheating because this is my last day, so why not? I'm taking you ahead three chapters. But this will just help drive home this point. Brahma asked for something more than just being Veda Garbha, just being Veda Vid, the knower of the Vedas. Just becoming perfect in all Vedic knowledge does not, that makes one a Sambandha Gyani, and we give quotes in that section. Actually, quite elaborate quotations from Srila Prabhupada himself, where Srila Prabhupada says, just to be a Sambandha Gyani means you are a Jnana Mishra Bhakta. Does not mean you're a pure devotee. And we're talking about the Sambandha of the Bhakti Shastra. You see, being connected with that knowledge. Srila Prabhupada says, just knowing, even from a pure devotee, even from a pure source, just knowing the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam, backward and forward, every verse upside down, inside out, you see, does not make one a pure devotee. So what does Brahma ask for? He asks to be empowered to render devotional service, which is, who can tell me, compared to Sambandha, what is that? Abhideya. And it is our teaching here at the school, well, it's not our special prejudice or anything. We feel that it is self-evident in Srila Prabhupada's purports and in the Srimad Bhagavatam verses themselves and what Jiva Goswami says, that avideya, the activities of devotional service, are the actual central focus of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Not even prayojana, although the sahajas would like you to think that way. You know, tears falling from your eyes and falling on the ground. And if you have that, then that's everything. Who cares if you smoke a bidi? Who cares if you follow the regular principles? No. The thing that separates the actual devotees, the Bhagavatas, from the imitators, and you'll see in chapter 9 that I was just looking at chapter 9 this morning, and we really worked that chapter to death. I mean, that I don't know if we're going to get to it in this semester, but it is practically a whole semester itself. We bring in so many quotations to hammer this home. So it just leaves no doubt. There's just no possibility. In fact, we arrange the quotations according to Vedic logic just to say, you know, this removes all doubt. There is no argument at the end. So it is the avideya, it is the process of pure devotional service that is the focus. This is what Brahma asks for, and this is what Lord Varesh, the Lord of Vaikuntha, the Lord of Ari Vaikuntha, the Lord of Dwarka says, oh, now you're asking for something very confidential. This is after he sat on the lotus flower for 4,300,000,000 years, and the Vedas took bloom in his heart. He knew the Vedas backward and forward, and then he asked for devotional service, actual engagement, with a fixed mind so that he won't fall down, he won't become proud, won't become deluded, won't start to think, because I have all this empowerment, I'm God. He's asking for pure devotional service. Let me please not become attached to results. Please save me from this. Then the Lord says, oh, now you're asking for something really confidential. Can you imagine? I mean, to get where he got, that was really confidential. You know, the Lord, you see the Lord in the beginning of that chapter praises him that you alone among all saints and sages are special, Brahman, because you have done this penance for so long without even the slightest iota of any cheating. And the Lord goes on to say, those who perform such austerities but have some little inkling, I want some mystic power, I want, you know, some planet to control, I want this, I want that, I immediately reject them. I immediately, you know, will not give them my darshan. They'll be cheated by the modes of nature. But you have passed the test. So he might think, okay, business done. But then when he asks to go from Sambandha, because that's all he had achieved by all that, he simply achieved the Vedic knowledge, which Prabhupada says doesn't bring you to the platform of a pure devotee. He says that very clearly in the sections that we quote. He asks for avideya, and the Lord says, oh, this is very special. And that's when he says, so, then now let all of me in my full glory be manifest before you so that you can receive this knowledge. So who do you think appeared before him then? Lord Shiva? Ganesh? Come on, Vaishnavas! Huh? Lord Chamasundar, yes, Govinda. Rajabihari. The original personality of God in himself, with two hands and a flute. And that's the only way he can be seen. Otherwise, nobody can see him. He is absolutely confidential. He cannot even be seen by the knowers of the Vedas. He cannot even be seen by Brahma when he's perfected the Sambandha Gyan platform. But when Brahma begs humbly, the Lord has already praised him, blessed him for his sincerity, so then Brahma channels that sincerity into this request, let me serve you, and let me serve you purely. That's when he has the darshan of Lord Krishna, and it is Lord Krishna himself who speaks to Chatushloki. Not Lord Narayan, not Lord anybody else, any other avatar expansion. It's the original personality of Godhead, and that's why Chatushloki is so incredibly important. And anyway, if you like to look ahead, you can. You might be afraid to come to the class when we discuss chapter 9, if you see it. Because really, talk about flogging a dead horse, you know, you really keep beating this point again, 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 because it is so important. This is how Krishna is realized. See, it's totally different. We can speak of, oh yes, South Indian Vaishnava Sampradayas and this and that. But their goal is Lakshmi Narayan. Their goal is Vaikuntha. So therefore, the most important scripture, like for the Ramanujas, the most important Purana is Vishnu Purana. Not that they don't respect Bhagavat Purana, but they can't enter into it, actually. So by the mercy of our acharyas, you see, we're able to get sambandha jnana into this. And as we see from the analysis that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives of the Chatushloki, he counts this because these are verses, verses of transcendental knowledge. So he counts the Chatushloki within Sambandha Gyan, but within the last chapter of Sambandha Gyan in his Bhagavat Arkamrichimala. In other words, it's on the cusp, it's on the sandhi between Avideya. In other words, it's like an open door. You know? If you can understand these four verses, then you can go through the door and enter Avideya. You see? That's how it works. The door opens. You're still on Sambandha. Sambandha means knowledge. So even when you read these four verses, you know, as we read them, you know, confessing that we're not such great devotees, but the point is that by the grace of this sampradaya, we have this rarest of insights, that who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it is actually proven in the Bhagavatam beyond the shadow of a doubt, and substantiated by our acharyas write down through the greatest world acharya of our time, Srila Prabhupada, and his purports. So if someone can catch the Chatushloki in the way Bhaktivinoda Thakur has positioned it, it means like the door creaks open. And only a fool won't go through. You see? The Lord opens the door. You see, this is the revelation he gives to Brahma. Yes. Here I am in my complete fullness. I am Brajaraj Sri Krishna, Lord of Braja. And now you follow. I am speaking to you for your benefit, this knowledge. And if you follow this, if you do these things I say in this Chatushloki, for me, then you will obtain this avidya that you desire. Otherwise not. This is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually forbade. He actually forbade his disciples to worship four-armed forms of Vishnu. He didn't like it. Because of what? Because he said there are two kinds of devotion, but the name he gives the lower kind doesn't sound like devotion at all. This is, you find in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in his discussion with Balabhacharya, the great acharya of what is that? Originally Vishnu Swami, now they're known as the Pushti Margis, or Ballabis, Ballabacharya followers, Pushtimargis. Actually, these present-day Pushtimargis, they're over mainly in Western India. And they're very nice, very hospitable. But their Acharya, Ballabha, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he was a Brahmin, South Indian Brahmin, and he just had this, it's very difficult for him to overcome. You see, because being a Brahmana is also conditioned. It's also a material condition. And he had a hard time overcoming this mentality. So he was always, some way or other, couldn't help himself but trying to impress the Lord by his knowledge. So you find one place where he starts to talk about the many names of the Lord, and the Lord dismisses that, and he says, I only know two names of the Lord, Shyamasundara and Yashoda Nandana. You see, these very intimate names of Krishna. Those are the only two names I know. And then the Lord comes, then Lala came and asked some very difficult question, and Lord says, Lord Chaitanya turned and said, why don't you ask Advaitacharya? Why don't you ask, he started pointing out his associates. They're much more knowledgeable about these things than I am. And Balabhacharya couldn't understand it. Wait, you're they're all worshipping you, so you must be the, this was how he saw things. You know, who's sitting in the big seat? So he's the one I talked to. And Mahaprabhu very humbly was saying, no, they are more expert in devotional service than me. This is the humility that it takes, that Brahma expressed. You see, this is how Brahma could win this avideya. So finally, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he more or less dismissed Ballabhacharya with the term Aishwarya Jnani. We are situated in Aishwarya Jnana. We don't even hear the whisper of the word bhakti in this phrase. Aishwarya, jnan. Jnan means transcendental knowledge. Aishwarya means opulence. So you're simply interested in the transcendental opulences of the Lord. You see? So this is what one can obtain, because knowledge is also an opulence. And knowledge doesn't make one. The jnana shakti does not ensure that one is a devotee. Can anyone tell me who are the Jnana Shakti avatars? The four Kumaras, yeah. So initially they are not devotees. Prabhupada said openly in several lectures, they were Mayavadi. Of course, they're not followers of Shankara, but Prabhupada's way of, he said ultimately all different, whatever nice title you want to give them, Brahmavadi or this or that, but ultimately, unless they rise above it, we all end up in the same place, you see, because impersonalism is the root of materialism. So Mayavad is specific to Shankaracharya, Vivartavad. It's a specific concoction. The four Kumaras were Brahmavadis, that's as far as they had realized, and they were not averse to realizing more. That was their good fortune. They did not have this built-in prejudice that the followers of Shankaracharya have, that anything with form must be limited, you see, because they only understand form in terms of their gross material experience. Like, here's the form of a loaf of bread, you see. So a loaf of bread has a certain weight, certain size, it's here, it's not here. But God is sarvajna. You see. He's all-knowing, all-pervading, in his jnana shakti. So if you say he has a form, then you're saying he's like a loaf of bread. You see. But this is the logic of a Shudra. A mudha. Like the story of the cow that was once caught in the barn, the cow pen, when the straw caught fire. And she was very scared. And at the last minute, when the flames, the curtain of flames was just surrounding her, the cow herdsman came in and dragged her out to safety. So she was saved. But henceforward, if she would see anything like that, she would become alarmed. So later on, a sannyasi came to visit that household. And he stayed one night, and the Vaishya Mataji, she washed his utadiya and his lungi, and they're of course a flaming orange color, and they were put on the line, and the wind was blowing them, and so the cow was grazing, and just without really noticing, came very close to where this saffron, this fiery, Prabhupada said actually sannyasi's cloth should look like fire. So this fire-colored cloth was blowing in the breeze. And the cow looked up and started running. So cows are in the mode of goodness, but they're not known to be Einsteins.